It's the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for Monday, July 12th. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. It is also the KDLG Pledge Drive, and we need your support to stay on air. Give us a call tomorrow at 907-842-5281 or 907-842-1670. You can also go to kdlg.org to donate, and we will be really appreciative of whatever you give. If you're listening right now and you're fishing and you like anything that we do at all, consider donating. On to the show now. Where the fish go, so too go the boats, and it's getting a little crowded over on the east side. Ugashik's fleet hauled in more than 500,000 fish yesterday, about a third of the bay's total daily catch. More fish are rushing the Naknek-Quijack as over 700,000 fish escape across that district. Port Muller is winding down for the season, but the run is still going strong. Coming up tonight, keeping your fish cold seems like a no-brainer, an essential part of getting salmon from the net to the tender. But it wasn't always that way.
And they'd pull fish out that were close to their mast that were warm, almost cooked, if you will.
Bristol Bay has hauled in a lot of salmon this year, and it looks like there's a good market for those fish.
We are looking at great market conditions for our fish, our salmon fisheries, and especially Bristol Bay sockeye fisheries this year.
An economist talks about what's pushing up retail prices for salmon. We have another voice from NOAA's project featuring women who fish in Bristol Bay.
It's really easy to live here, not to mention the fishermen and the processors and everybody give away so much food you don't know what to do with it all. So I just invest in freezers and store as much as I can and feed a lot of it to the dogs. It's a pretty rich place.
Those conversations and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Thanks for sticking with us. We're going to take a look at the numbers. The total run bay-wide is at 48.2 million fish. Total run last year at this time was at 35.2 million fish. Not a bad jump in the numbers. Fishermen around the bay harvested over 2 million fish yesterday. The Ugashik District accounted for a third of yesterday's catch. The total bay-wide harvest is at 28.7 million fish. Daily escapement around the bay hit 1.1 million yesterday, with the Naknek-Quijack at almost two-thirds of the total escapement for yesterday. That pushes total escapement for the season to 18.5 million fish. Heading over to the Nooshigak District, harvest there was down a bit from yesterday, from the day before, coming in at 423,000 fish. That puts total harvest there at 15.3 million. Nooshigak drift nets hauled in 82% of that total catch, with set nets at 12%. The remaining catch went to Agushik set nets at 2.5%, and about 4% was unspecified. Daily escapement in the district hit 308,000, pushing total escapement to 8.7 million fish. Let's see what that looks like by river. Sockeye escapement in the Nooshigak River dipped under 100,000 fish for the first time in 10 days. It came in at 97,500 fish. The season total is at 4.4 million. Chinook escapement took a major nosedive with only 80 kings. That puts the total run at 49,300 Chinook. Yesterday's chum run came in at 4,100 fish, putting the season total at 112,000. Escapement in the Wood River yesterday remained fairly consistent, swimming in at 159,700. That puts the season total at 3.6 million fish. As of 6 a.m. today, 15,800 fish have passed by the counting tower. The Agushik River escapement was another model of consistency, coming in at 51,000 fish. The season total is at 602,000. About 10,700 have passed through the river as of 6 a.m. Escapement in Togiak was down yesterday, coming in at 390 fish. That's the lowest daily run so far since they've started counting escapement. Total escapement is now at 30,700. No word from Togiak this morning, but those numbers should be in tomorrow. Now let's look over at the east side. Daily harvest in the Naknek-Quijack took a dip yesterday as fishers hauled in 495,000 fish. Total harvest has broken the 5 million mark at 5.4 million. Naknek drift nets brought in 69% of that total catch. Set nets claimed 16%. The other 15% went to Quijac set nets. Escapement continues to flourish as the daily run rushed in at 707,500. Total escapement is now 8.1 million, just 600,000 shy of the Nooshigak district. Here's what that looks like by river. In the Quijac, the daily run swam in at 327,000 fish. The total run there leads all east side rivers at 3.5 million. The daily run in the Naknek River hit 133,000 fish. That puts total escapement to 2.3 million, slightly more than the Alagnak River. Speaking of the Alagnak's escapement, that run hit 247,000 yesterday. The total run there is 2.2 million fish. Harvest in the Agigig River almost doubled yesterday, with fishers commanding 419,000 fish. The total harvest is now 5.9 million. Drift nets account for 83% of that total catch. Set nets captured the remaining 17%. Escapement was down a bit at 36,000 fish. The cumulative run is now 1.5 million. Harvest was supreme in Ugaashik, leading all east side districts at 658,000 fish, in fact leading the bay at 658,000 fish caught yesterday. The season total is at 1.8 million fish. Drift nets hauled 89% of the bounty, with 11% going to the set nets. Escapement also spiked as 94,000 fish ran through the Ugaashik. The total run is at 192,000 fish. At the Chicnic Weir, about 7,000 fish passed through yesterday, putting the total run at 254,000 sockeye. Two fish were counted as of 9 a.m. this morning. The late sockeye run is at 33,000 fish. 36 Chinook passed through yesterday, putting the total Chinook run up the river to 243 fish. 36 pinks were counted yesterday, pushing that total to 109 pinks. Over at Area M, the fleet harvested 24,200 sockeye yesterday for a total of 4.8 million. The Chinook harvest was about 1,100, bringing the season total to almost 5,000 fish. Fishermen in Area M caught 67,100 pinks for a total of 3.4 million so far this season. Chum harvest was at almost 42,000, bringing the sum to 909,400. Finally, the coho harvest was 5,700 yesterday for a season total of about 9,500 silvers. Most of Area M's total harvest so far has been from the South Peninsula's South Unimak and Shumagin Islands area. Over 60% of the season's sockeye catch came from there, as well as around 65% of Chinook, virtually all of the pinks, and the vast majority of chum. Now for yesterday's update from the Port Muller test fishery. The test fishery saw its second highest single station index of the year yesterday, with an index of 404. The mean index for stations 2 through 22 was 61, which Michael Link, the technician, calls quite something for July 11th. It was also the last voyage of the season for the Pandalus. The Ocean Cat will fish for a few more days. Promising weather this week bodes well for the test fishery. Here's the station-by-station breakdown. Station 2 was not fished, and Station 6 reported no catch. Station 4 caught 0 in the 4.5-inch mesh, and 1 in the 5 1/8. The index is 3. Station 8 caught 99 in the 4.5-inch mesh, and 83 in the 5 1/8. The index is 404. Station 10 caught 10 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 26 in the 5 1/8. The index is 135. Station 12 caught 9 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 5 in the 5 1/8. The index is 38. Station 14 caught 5 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 2 in the 5 1/8. The index is 16. Station 16 caught 9 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 3 in the 5 1/8. The index is 29. Station 18 caught 1 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 6 in the 5 1/8. The index is 18. And Station 20 caught 4 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 0 in the 5 1/8. The index is 10. Over to vessel registration now. Boats are moving and grooving throughout the bay for the next couple days. As of this morning, there are 297 boats in the Nooshigak. 89 of those are D boats. That will increase a bit to 300 boats on Wednesday with 90 D boats. There are 444 boats in the Naknek Quijac, 117 of those are D boats. That will increase to 565 boats by Wednesday with 148 D boats. In the Agigig District, 223 boats are in the water, with 69 of those being D boats. That will increase by one boat, putting the total to 224 vessels and 70 D boats on Wednesday. Togiak will remain the same Monday through Wednesday at 33 boats. And in the Ugashik District, there are 146 boats. 65 of those are D boats. Those numbers will increase to 218 boats, and 90 of those will be D boats. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with you on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for KDLG comes from Trident Seafoods, harvesting and processing wild Alaska seafood for over 40 years. More on Trident Seafoods at tridentseafoods.com.
Welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. For many Bristol Bay fishermen, keeping your catch cold seems like a no-brainer, an essential part of getting salmon from the net to the tender. But as KDLG's Mackenzie Mancuso reports, the best way to keep the catch cold depends on who you ask, and it wasn't always that chilly.
Chilling fish wasn't always the norm for Bristol Bay's fishermen. Before boats iced their catch, fishermen soaked fish in river water or delivered them hot and dry. Instead of putting fish in ice-filled containers, uninsulated fish holds were jam-packed with just salmon. Tim McRae is a refrigeration technician who has installed RSW units on boats in Bristol Bay for the past 6 years. He works for Stay Cool Refrigeration in Naknek.
I talked to some fishermen that never had RSW before, and they were always in dry fish, and they'd pull fish out by their that were close to their mast that were warm, almost cooked, if you will.
The 1980s saw a shift in how many Bristol Bay fishermen chilled fish on board, as boats started to install units with refrigerated seawater where the fish are stored until they're transported to a tender. RSW systems chill fish through a mechanical process that pulls heat from the catch into an evaporator, then discharges that heat overboard through a condenser. McRae says it allows fishermen to cool their catch more consistently.
Ice is not going to be able to sustain the temperature needed to deliver a good quality chilled fish. RSW, you can run that 24/7, and you don't have to, say, leave fishing to go get ice and then pack fish and then go deliver your fish because you notice that your ice is melting.
But not everyone is completely on board. Harry Moore, captain of the FV Miss Gladys, switched to RSW several years ago. Though it's easier than ice in many respects, he says it's not always the best method.
In my opinion, and I think several others' opinions, ice is by far probably the best way of handling fish, but it has a lot of inherent limitations to it. The RSW is really a very strong second best.
RSW units are a hefty purchase. The systems can cost anywhere from $15,000 to $50,000, and Moore says ice is just as good. Still, he says getting ice is more labor-intensive, and you have to spend money on it throughout the season, and ice barges can run out. And while plenty of fishermen still use ice, Moore says RSW gives him more flexibility when he's out on the water.
Not having an umbilical cord to the ice barge, just getting ice. Sometimes there is no ice. Sometimes you're limited on how much ice. Sometimes the quality of the ice is poor because they're producing it so fast.
The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association has focused much of its marketing efforts on fish chilling over the past decade. The association says that while RSW is more consistent, ice and slush ice are good, solid alternatives for less cost up front. This season, BBRSDA contracted a vessel, the Saner Alaska Rose, to shuttle ice in the Nooshigak. It runs from the Bristol-made ice barge at Clark's Point to the south line of the Nooshigak Fishing District at the bottom of Schooner's Channel, where boats can load ice for $310 a ton. The ice shuttle will operate through July 22nd. In Naknek, I'm Mackenzie Mancuso.
The ice shuttle Alaska Rose will stand by on VHF Channel 78. Satnetters can buy ice from the shuttle, but it will not be stopping along the beach.
Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a hawk daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know.
We love to hear suggestions or questions from our listeners about what they want to hear and what's going on in the fishery. We got one request for additional perspective on the market. For more, we reached out to Dan Lesh, a fisheries consultant with the McKinley Research Group. It's been fairly unique summer so far in that we've seen these enormous harvests in the Nooshigak District. there are other market factors such as Peter Pan announcing their base price ahead of the season. But in terms of harvest and where statewide harvest is at versus where Bristol Bay is at, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, so far as of the end of last week, we're looking at 33.7 million sockeye harvested statewide, and that's up 26%. In Bristol Bay, we're up 11% over last year. Other regions like Alaska Peninsula is up 291% over last year, and Kodiak's also up quite a bit over last year. Collectively, it's a good year for sockeye in more parts of the state than just Bristol Bay, which is good to see. Southeast is still struggling, down 58%, but not a major sockeye harvesting region.
As I mentioned, we've seen these big harvests in the Nooshiegak District. How does that play out in terms of the overall picture for sockeye markets in Alaska and obviously outside of Alaska as well?
Well, we'll yet to find out exactly how that's going to affect the processing of the fish, but you know, preserving the quality and getting it to the best markets quickly becomes the difficulty then, you know, when you got a lot of fish in one region. But in general, we are looking at great market conditions for our salmon fisheries, and especially Bristol Bay sockeye fisheries this year.
What are some of those market factors that you are looking at as you consider this season?
We look at the supply and demand, and the supply was really low going into this year. Inventories were wiped out from last year, and we still have really strong demand for premium seafood products across the board, and record prices, you know, things like crab, lobster, and I would put Bristol Bay sockeye salmon in the same category a lot of times as a premium seafood product. That when people are going to the store, they're looking for something special, and they have a little bit more money to spend still. That benefits prices for the highest quality seafood products, and that's pushing up pricing at retail. Spending at food service has returned to pre-pandemic levels, so that bodes well for what we're going to see for food service markets. When I'm looking at some of the spotty data that's available, pricing up to $15 a pound, you know, for fillets at retail, but generally a little lower. That's comparable with previous years, a little bit higher. It's a positive sign.
It's not out of this world, but it is, you know, it's on the up and up.
Yeah.
What does a lower price look like? Compared to like $15, what would that look like?
In 2020, most of the retail features for sockeye salmon fillets were around $11.99, $11.50 a pound. So what we're going to see for 2021 to compare apples to apples is a little unclear, but probably above that, slightly above that. I think, you know, some stores like to keep their prices steady every year just so consumers kind of understand what things cost, and others really can vary their price quite a lot.
In terms of fish size, and as we see smaller fish returning to Bristol Bay, how does that play into the market?
Yeah, I think that is yet to be seen in some ways, but what you need to have happen is you need people to be willing to accept, you know, the smaller fillet on their plate. And I think there can be a perception that it's harder to work with smaller fish. I've anecdotally heard, you know, that some of the retailers that have started to embrace this and sell smaller fish have had some success. At least one major retailer I was talking to had that perspective, that so far so good on marketing some of these smaller fish. You know, the yields go down, so you put more work into each pound of fish that you're marketing because you're having to deal with smaller fish. So there's cost. We don't like to see our cost structure increase. But consumer acceptance, hopefully, is there for it.
Dan, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to walk through what we're seeing so far in the markets and in the run as we head into the middle of July here.
Thanks a lot. Nice to talk to you, Izzy.
In 2017, social scientists with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration arrived in Bristol Bay to interview and record women in the fishery. The project is archived with NOAA's Voices Oral Histories Archive. Today's episode features Anne Schenkel. Her interview was recorded in 2018 by Sarah Wise and Kim Sparks in Naknek.
subsistence is the hobby here, really. I mean, that's the main thing we have to do. Of course, there's lots of bad hobbies that are problems for people, but the good hobby is going out and catching smelt, picking berries, you know, doing the fish thing, hunting, going out, and some people trap, different things like that. We still have it all right here where it's the thing to do, and lots of it. The resource is plentiful. Yeah, there's wonderful berries here. And I showed you the main ones, the cloudberries, also called salmonberries sometimes, and the blackberries, which are also called crowberries, the blueberries. Everybody loves the blueberries, and they all mix really well together. And then later in September, after we're done picking the mushrooms and all those things, we have wonderful mushrooms here, too. They bring a lot of money other places for those kind of mushrooms. They're called porcini if you buy them in the grocery stores, and they're expensive. Later on, we'll pick cranberries after the frost. After the frost, you quit picking mushrooms and you start picking cranberries. And we have wonderful cranberries here, too, just like little red rubies out there on the tundra. And we have really good berries here. We're really fortunate. This place is so blessed with so much food, between the fish and the berries and the caribou and the moose. And it's so easy to grow a garden with lots of potatoes and lots of peas and broccoli and just lots of other things you can grow. It's really easy to live here, not to mention the fishermen and the processors and everybody give away so much food you don't know what to do with it all. So I just invest in freezers and store as much as I can and feed a lot of it to the dogs. It's a pretty rich place. A pretty powerful place with the world's largest sockeye salmon runs and steaming volcanoes and howling winds, but it's awesome here. I really like it here. The food here is just incredible. There's so much really high-quality food that I don't want to eat anything else, but people build their own challenges. A lot of the younger people don't want to eat salmon. They don't want to live a subsistence lifestyle. Some of the older people really value that, but a lot of the younger ones are proud if they never eat it or say they can't stand it and all they want is expensive processed food. That's a cultural thing that goes on, and it's happening. People talk themselves into this isn't a good place, but I see it quite the opposite. This has huge potential. I mean, I built this house with stuff that's thrown off from the dump from all these processors and government places. I think it's true anywhere, though, you can find a lifestyle for yourself if you just have that looking around, wondering what is your path, what is there for you. You know, there's potential, and a lot of people tend to look at things negatively, only want what they don't have, only want to live in these internet devices that I don't even like. But I'm lucky. I'm very lucky. I've been very blessed. I guess subsistence means to me a real connection to the place you're living and what resources are there. And I'm afraid a lot of people are losing that, really. And they don't even see what's right in front of them. Subsistence is a big word, but there's a lot of different kinds of subsistence. And food is the first one that comes to mind to people around here. Food and fish.
Sak Takayasu, a student at Maine College of Art, edited this portrait. Thanks to NOAA Fisheries for sharing this project with KDLG. You can visit their website to learn more about it.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen, online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
That just about does it for tonight's show. It is the KDLG Pledge Drive, and we need your support. Yes, you listening right now to stay on the air. Give us a call tomorrow, 907-842-5281 or 907-842-1670. You can also go to kdlg.org to donate. There is a yellow donate button on the upper right-hand corner. Is the desperation in my voice palpable? Please donate. We'll be in the office tomorrow to take your call. And you can also go online anytime to kdlg.org to donate. We are going to take a look at the marine weather forecast right now. In Bristol Bay, northwest wind 15 knots, seas at 2 feet. Tonight, a west wind at 15 knots, seas at 2 feet. On Tuesday, a west wind at 15 knots and seas remaining at 2 feet. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, today, a northwest wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet and patchy fog. Tonight, a west wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet, patchy fog. And on Tuesday, west wind 10 knots, seas at 2 feet, patchy fog continuing. In the tidal forecast at Nooshigak at Clark's Point, high tide was at 5:22 p.m. at 14 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, high tide at 3:55 p.m. at 15 feet. And at the Igigik River entrance, low tide will be at 10:41 p.m. at negative 1 foot. In messages to the fleet, hugs and kisses to the crew on the mighty Uncle Einar from all those you left behind in Linden. Missing you, from Lisa. To Antoinette and Grant Walker, happy birthday. And happy birthday to Grant, who's on board. Antoinette, your garden flowers are in bloom, scattering the road with yellow petals. That's from Green Billicky Walker. And to play us out tonight, Fox on the Run by Sweet for the fishing vessel Crawdad. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with your generous support. Again, give us a call tomorrow. Donate, 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 please. We're waiting to hear from you. 907-842-5281. You can also go online anytime to donate, kdlg.org. I'm Izzy Ross. Good night, good fishing. See you back here tomorrow. You don't